everybody to I'm Here for the Food, the a la carte series. I developed this series to conduct interviews with either my close personal friends or people that I find to be extraordinarily fascinating, but in a one-on-one kind of format so we get a little bit intimate. Today, my guest is a fan favorite, and she's also a very close personal friend. I am sitting in the home of the beautiful Elise Neal.
Oh my gosh, that was amazing. Hi, everybody. How are you?
Hey, girlfriend.
What up, girl?
So I want to get right into the interview with you. It is so funny, like interviewing. This is my first
this
time
actually.
This is
hilarious. This is very, like, we're trying to act like, yeah.
Yeah, we're trying to act like, you know, all, you know, prim and proper and professional,
yes,
stuff,
Lord.
Like that. Meanwhile, about 30 minutes, we'd just be laid out on these couches and stuff. But so let me start off with asking you or saying happy birthday. I know. Happy belated birthday. Your birthday was on March 14th. You're a Pisces.
14th. I am a Pisces. Yes. It was the worst birthday I've had in a very long time. We are under quarantine for sure here in LA. Mm-hmm. All my plans were canceled. But I had a nice dinner. That's what I did.
Okay. Well, hey, I feel you. This quarantine situation is just, it's unlike anything that any of us have really even, experienced in our lives.
Yeah.
And, you know, people are counting down the days that they've already been under quarantine. I'm seeing a lot of posts on Instagram saying day 5 of quarantine and people are just doing some wild stuff right now. I can't wait to see day 15 of quarantine.
Yeah. Like, need to stop with that. They need to stop like numbering it because we just don't know.
Yeah.
Stop numbering.
Exactly. So what I'm going to ask you is I'm going to ask you what some of your plans are since you have all of this free time on your hands like the rest of us do. But I did want to ask this just because I know from my own personal kind of admiration of you, just as somebody, you know, a friend who cyber stalks you.
Okay.
And I know that for a huge percentage of women, you and men, you are very much admired, but for women, you are the definition of hashtag goals. Okay. And I want to ask you how you feel about that, like the reasons behind it. You know, I don't want to shy away from the fact that you are over the age of 50 and don't look it for a single solitary second. But I want to ask you how these things make you feel. When people say things to you constantly referencing your age and how you're defying expectation or you look so good for your age, do you look at these as backhanded compliments? Like, how do you receive that, energy and those words?
You know, that's a lot. Okay. First thing I'll say is all women are overjudged.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just being a woman, being in the business, you're just completely expected to feel a certain way, look a certain way, be a certain way. And I don't know, for me, all I can do is be myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't like if people want to lead with the age.
Mm-hmm.
I think some people are my age and they want to just be at home.
Mm-hmm.
I think some people are my age and would feel, you know, like they've let themselves down if they didn't have a husband yet.
Mm-hmm.
I think some people would feel a certain way if they were my age and they didn't have a child yet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very much, and I don't know if this is because I started off as a dancer.
Mm-hmm.
I am such a free thinker. Let and let live type of person that for me, this is the way God has designed my life.
Mm-hmm.
Would I have liked certain things to be different? Sure. Do I feel bad about any of them? No.
So a life of no regrets.
A life with no regrets.
Okay.
Some personal regrets, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Some things that I would like to have gone differently, fine.
Mm-hmm.
But do I live every day like, oh, I've never been like that.
Right.
That's not even my personality.
Right.
So I've always been a high energy person.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying I think it's an individual. I like to be looked at as an individual.
Mm-hmm.
I am the type of person who is always high energy. I always have been.
Always.
I am the type of person who loves to work out even before I was just an actress and being a dancer for years and touring the world as a dancer, I love high energy, mm-hmm. point blank period. Mm-hmm. So if I feel a certain way and look a certain way at mm-hmm. a certain age, it's because that's how I live my life mm-hmm. always.
Right.
And someone else may be different.
Mm-hmm. So when people, you know, litter your page with comments about how you defy society's expectations as to what a 50 plus woman looks like.
Right.
What's your go-to response for something like that? Or do you even bother?
No, sometimes I bother. I mean, if a woman asks me, girl, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. I might take the time to say, this is what I'm doing. Right. I'm trying to go to sleep. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to work out. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to take care of my skin. Mm-hmm. I can give you some tips if you really want them. Mm-hmm. That may be my response.
Okay.
I guess I don't have, see, it's, I think it's one of those things that if I was being unauthentic, mm-hmm. then it would be different. Mm-hmm. I'm really just living my life like me. Mm-hmm. And if you want to live your life like me, I can give you people the rules and tools and things that I do. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're maybe going to do this YouTube thing that we talked mm-hmm. about. Mm-hmm. So I can really help.
Yeah.
But it's not something I wouldn't do anyway.
Right.
And I think that's the thing. Find the things in life that make you happy mm-hmm. every day. For whomever that person is, mm-hmm. whether that is to walk more, whether that is to take care of your body more, maybe that is to just love yourself more mm-hmm. and figure out how you can love yourself more. I've always loved me.
Yeah.
And I think that it shines through. Mm-hmm. I've always just loved being myself and being whatever that was. Mm-hmm. In a relationship, not in a relationship. On my own, not on my own. Mm-hmm. You know, working out, having fun, touring the world. I love being myself and authentic to whatever I want to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, there's a bunch of identifiers that, you know, go along with your name. You've got a lot of, you know, slashes behind your name. You've got actress, you have producer, you have dancer, you have singer. We talked a little bit about that. But you're just Elise Neal from Memphis, Tennessee. Talk about growing up in Memphis, Tennessee, and how that has lent to the woman that you have become. The foundation, how was that created and by whom?
I love my hometown. Mm-hmm. Anybody that really knows me knows I love everything about being a Memphian.
Mm-hmm. I just learned something right now. A Memphian. I had no idea how to pluralize that.
Memphis people are called Memphians.
Okay.
And I think it's, you know, I love being from the South. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that I could cook circles around anybody, but I just don't cook that much anymore. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that, you know, I can bring my accent out if I want to bring my accent out and talk like I used to talk when I was living in Memphis, like I did for Hustle and Flow.
Wow.
But yes, I studied hard to with an acting coach for that one, mm-hmm. trust and believe. But I just love that it's just Bill Street. Memphis is Bill Street. Memphis is just laid back, nice people, mm-hmm. fun people. They love to play cards and talk crap. I like that I'm not from a big city like mm-hmm. a New York or LA. Mm-hmm. And I love to go home. I love being a part of a different community that thinks differently mm-hmm. and has no problem checking me mm-hmm. if I need to be put in check about something. But what I really love doing recently is because, you know, a lot of people, especially people in entertainment in Memphis, they want to get out. They want to figure out how I was able to do it. Mm-hmm. They reach me out in the DMs and stuff all the time. And so, look, it's too many people. Mm-hmm. It's like too, and I'm not trying to check all that stuff. So I just decided that I would go back and I started an initiative, mm-hmm. a performing arts initiative, Elise Neal Masterclass Series.
Okay.
So the Elise Neal Masterclass Series, I go back, I bring in someone like Twinkie Bird, which was the first class. Mm-hmm. And we had Twinkie Bird come out to Memphis. I partnered with a great company called Art Up, mm-hmm. Does a lot of nonprofit work in Memphis, Tennessee. They're a little new, like 2 years. Mm-hmm. to help me figure it out, because I'm not there, obviously, all the time. And now I think I'm going to take it over and just do it myself and make it even bigger, better, bring in some sponsors. You know, a lot of people want to come and speak. I'd love for you to come down and talk about your journey. Then what we do is we bring in a lot of women that would want to be journalists.
Right.
And then I would just have it be more about that. Yeah, I love it. And then the last one we just did, I had J.R. Taylor, who's a dancer, choreographer, because that was my start.
Yeah.
So I really wanted to do a spotlight on dance. Mm-hmm. But it's been really fun, positive, and my way to give back to the city that I love so much.
Okay, so we'll go back to that, but I wanted to touch on your start in the industry, which was through dancing.
Yeah, so...
And not a lot of people know that about
you. A lot of people don't know that.
That you were a video girl.
I was a video girl before then it became about something else.
Yes.
Way back in the day.
Yes, yes. Like Chubb Rock, just the two of us.
Chubb Rock. Somebody just posted the other day my work to do video with Vanessa Williams. Mm-hmm. I was in all those music videos back then. And, you know, we used to make like $5,000 for the week to learn the choreography, work with the celeb, and do those music videos. I did a lot of them. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. So many.
Yeah.
So many. So many. So much fun.
So what was the transition like for you from, because I get asked this question all the time about the transition from music videos to, you know, every other genre that I've kind of been a part of in the entertainment industry. And everybody seems to have like a really different story as to what their transition point was. So from dancing and music videos to becoming an actress, what was that process like for you? And did it involve the move from Memphis to LA?
Okay, so how that went. So I was in Memphis, dancing, working at Liberty Land. Shout out to Liberty Land back in Memphis. It's closed now. Mm-hmm. So I was doing anything I could in the entertainment business in Memphis when I was young. Mm-hmm. I started dancing when I was 6. So we moved to a district that I could go to, one of the only, at the time, performing arts high schools in Memphis called Overton High School. Shout out to Overton High School. Mm-hmm. I just saw some of the great kids there at that workshop. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I get all excited about it. Okay. So I got a full scholarship to PCPA in high school out of Overton High School. Mm-hmm. So from Overton, I moved to Philadelphia to start college on my full scholarship.
Okay.
So I did 2.5 years at PCPA, which is now University of the Arts. They're trying to be even more fancy. And then I moved to New York. I dropped out. Mm-hmm. I moved to New York with a few other dancers because I got a job in the profession that I love. Mm-hmm. And of course that was interesting for the family, but it worked out. Mm-hmm. So I was touring. I've got 3 passports from all the touring companies of Sophisticated Ladies, Dream Girls. I worked a lot with Maurice Hines, who I still think is the most amazing tap dancer. Did all of that first. And then somewhere along the way, I started doing a lot of commercials. Just at that time, it was a boom in, I should say, dance commercials, like with the detergent and your soap. And it's like, so I was doing tons of those. And somewhere along there, somebody was like, yeah, you should try like acting. And I was like, nah, I'm good. I don't see it. I'm trying to be Debbie Allen. This is not, I'm working. I'm in the union. I'm doing my dream.
You were not about, you had no intentions of getting into acting.
None.
Okay.
And so I decided that I'd do like a week, a workshop. And I sucked at it. Like, I was like, because I'm like this, you know, I want to be. And you're like, no, stop.
Yeah.
I need to feel it from here. And I was like,
what?
How do you do that?
Yeah.
So that intrigued me. Mm-hmm. How does one find emotion and make the world understand it with just your face?
Yeah.
So it intrigued me. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay. And then I started studying, and I was at Jean Frankel's Institute, doing everything I could in New York, doing different theater companies and stuff. And I fell in love with it. I fell in love with the fact that at first it was so hard.
Yeah.
It was so difficult to even figure that out. And then it just became fun. And I really loved a new challenge. And So from there, I decided to take my money from all those commercials. I was doing national commercials.
Oh, you were making bank.
Oh, my God. I was doing them so much. Like, I don't know if it's just because I am a ball of energy.
Yeah.
So I was doing everything from, like, Target to JCPenney to Coca-Cola and all this. Oh, now the big one was the Nike commercials. Mm-hmm. I did like a series of like 5 Nike commercials.
Are you still getting paid for that?
Oh my God, no, because it's over. But you know, they have to still be running.
Right.
But yeah, I made a lot of money. So I took that money and I moved to LA with that money.
Okay.
And I moved in with a friend of mine that was a dancer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I used to sleep on the couch.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's how I moved out here. Then I went to the Academy of Dramatic Art mm-hmm. for a summer program.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when it really grounded me as an actor.
Yeah.
Like, again, I took a voice dialect, and that's how I was able to understand how to transition my voice
mm-hmm.
And really understood how to break down scenes. Everything like that was from the Dramatic Art
mm-hmm.
Academy of Dramatic Art.
What's up, foodies? I've got another deal for you and a favorite thing. I have talked before about Liquid IV, and I am obsessed with it. I need you guys to check this stuff out, okay? It is the easiest, healthy solution to dehydration. All you gotta do is take one of these little packages, okay? You add this to about 16 ounces of water. By doing so, you get 2 to 3 times more hydration than you would get with just one regular bottle of water. And if you're like me, plain water is a little bit boring, so this adds so much yumminess to it. And it also adds some vitamins that we need. Vitamins like vitamin C, vitamin B complex, and potassium is added in that little package. The other thing that I love most about this company is they're also donating to food banks nationwide and also healthcare facilities. So they've got a little philanthropic cause added to their services. So I want you guys to log on to their site. It's liquidiv.com. That's LIQUIDIV, as in the Roman numerals, .com. And the code is foodie, FOODIE. That's what you use to unlock 25% off of your first order. Okay. Again, that's liquidiv.com. That's LIQUIDIV.com to unlock 25% off, and the code that you use is foodie, FOODIE. Do not be out in these streets dehydrated with brain fog, because you just get cranky and it's like the worst. Liquid IV is the fastest, most efficient way to stay hydrated.
How did you adjust to life in LA? Because it's quite different from Memphis. It's quite different from anywhere in the world, actually.
Yeah. I mean, because I had been away from Memphis for a while.
Yeah, you know? But LA is its own separate monster.
It is.
People really think that when you come out here and these manicured lawns and the trim trees and Beverly Hills and the Hollywood sign, that this is what it is. No.
No, it's not.
I tell people, this is the Wild Wild West.
Yes.
This is...
LA is a little different. Honestly, I think LA is different than even New York.
Oh, yeah. Like, I lived there for 16 years. It's completely different.
I loved living in New York. Mm-hmm. I think people are real, mm-hmm. and I like that. In New York,
yes.
They're very real. I want you to just tell it to me straight.
Mm-hmm.
LA is, I believe LA is such the facade city.
You know what I used to say? I would say, because I've lived in both cities.
Right.
New York is hard on the body. LA is hard on the soul.
LA can be so, and you would think it would be opposite.
Nope. That New York life is real hard on the body, but, and this is the other thing I would say, in New York, they will stab you in your heart and look you in your eye. Mm-hmm. But here in LA, they'll stab you in your back and smile in your face. Yeah. It takes a lot of like, not just like an adjustment to physically being away from home. It takes an enormous amount of adjustment to understand like how to even function out here. And some people, you know, like my way of functioning was to kind of self-isolate a lot of the time because I didn't have a lot of trust for people out here, you know. Thank God, you know, we're friends.
Yeah.
And I had like friends from the industry that I knew were actual girlfriends and not just, you know, just for appearance's sake. Yeah.
It's different because, okay, New York,
mm-hmm.
competition, it's like you would look the competition in the eye and say, mm-hmm. bring it, bitch.
Yeah.
I'm getting ready to try to come to this audition.
Yeah.
I would tell you to your face.
Yeah.
We're both getting ready to go in. Sometimes you book it, sometimes I book it.
Mm-hmm.
Bring it. I'll talk to you later.
Yeah.
If you get it, great. But yeah. I'm going to tell you that to your face.
Yeah.
You can come into LA and there's such a competition, but they want to act like they're happy for you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the adjustment.
Yeah.
I've been in competition with people my whole life mm-hmm. because, again, I started as a dancer, mm-hmm. which to me, and I say it with pride, that is the hardest competition ever
mm-hmm.
because we will wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning. We will get to the audition. We will stretch. We'll do the first combination.
Mm-hmm.
Then we'll be exhausted. Then we'll put the makeup back on and get back freshened up for the callback. Then we will call back. And then they're only going to pick two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
out of like 300.
Out of however many that show up. So I'm cool with the competition.
Mm-hmm.
Just say it to my face. Like, tell me, girl, you killed that. I'm, you know, but don't be like, girl, I'm, oh yeah. And then stab me and try to talk bad about me to mm-hmm. the producers.
Sabotage you.
Sabotage your whole crap to the producers. Like, she's not nice or whatever that they want to do to try to get them to get the job. That's the adjustment that I'm still like, you know, I still clutch my pearls because I know that's what goes on in the doors here in LA.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of sabotage. That's mm-hmm. a perfect word.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's interesting is, you know, always having like my ear to, you know, the noise of the streets and stuff like that. It's part of my job to stock comment sections and just be up on stuff that I normally would not give two shits about, you know,
that's
honestly.
What you gotta do.
But one thing that I've always just admired and respected about you is how well liked you are in this business and respected you are. Nobody has anything negative to say about Elise Neal.
Yeah, but they probably wouldn't say it to our faces.
No, but no. Even when you're not around, I'm telling you.
Okay.
I'm telling you that this is a fact. Nobody has anything negative to say about Elise Neal. And, you know, I'm always fascinated by that because, you know, it could be seen as a fluke if it's like, you know, just a couple of years in this business. You've been in the business for what, 25?
25, maybe four, or almost a
almost bit 30 years.
Yeah, almost 30 years now.
Yeah, and to maintain a legacy of, you know, admiration and respect from your peers and fans by and large. Some would ask you, how did you accomplish that? And others would just, you know, give you a pat on the back for that. But like, how have you managed to maintain such good favor with the public by and large and the acting community and your peers?
It's hard. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest. It is hard. You know, I try to treat people like I would like to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
I try to do my best in still have growth,
mm-hmm.
but try not to step on anybody for the growth. Now, that's the hard part
mm-hmm.
because let's just keep it real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to elevate in this business, you kind of got to step on someone to elevate sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, you know, there was times in my career when I've had great agents, but not top of the line agents.
Mm-hmm.
And there's bigger fish wanting me to move. And I'm the type of person to a default of mine in my career sometimes who will be like, no, that's not cool to just throw my phone away, which I've seen friends of mine do when other people were calling our names.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, screw them. I'm going to go over here.
Yeah.
I can't sleep at night mm-hmm. with that.
Yeah.
Yes, that screwed me sometimes.
That sense of loyalty.
That sense of loyalty mm-hmm. or just being, trying not to be a bad person to get to the certain things.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why. You know, I won't do that. I refuse to do that. Okay, yeah, that possibly would have helped me in my career and I could have gone on a little bit bigger, faster, but I won't do that.
Right.
I want to sleep at night.
Right. Yeah, not a lot of people would feel that sense of burden, you know, with that comes along with feeling like you can't, shit on people. Because this business is the definition of, like, cutthroat.
Straight up.
Yeah.
100%. But I can't sleep at night. Right. I know me. Mm-hmm. I'm way too sensitive. I know. I am way too sensitive.
That's it's a kind of sidebar, but since you kind of opened up the door, like, what does keep you up at night? Just in general, not even business related. But what are some
real
of the things
problems.
That...
problems. My mm-hmm. real problems okay. would keep me up at night, you know?
People can look at your life from the curated posts of Instagram and think that your life is fabulous.
Yeah, but it's not.
But what, so what keeps you up at
night?
Like,
you know, I've lost my mother mm-hmm. and we talked and we're not going to go there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I've real problems losing my mother, mm-hmm. you know, me feeling like a relationship is not going in the right way with someone I love. Mm-hmm. It's things that I love, people that I love that I would possibly not sleep. Not an audition. Mm-hmm. And some people would think that that's weird because I do love being an actor. I love being in entertainment. But real problems mm-hmm. don't keep me up. You know, it's got to be a real problem to keep me up.
Right.
If I lose an audition, that's the job. Mm-hmm. That's the way it's been my whole life. I am a gypsy. I've been a gypsy for a long time. Mm-hmm. But real issues, mm-hmm. real personal issues will keep me up, mm-hmm. not the business.
So you say that once an audition is done, you leave it to God and you keep on going about, okay, go on.
Now, I'm not going to say that. Okay. I'm saying that it doesn't bother me.
It doesn't bother you.
Would I like to get it? Mm-hmm. Hell yeah.
I mean, every actor and actress wants to get it.
Do I think that sometimes I should have got it? Hell yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's not going to keep me up at night.
Have you ever found throughout the years of being in this business that you internalized the rejection and it's affected your self-esteem? Because I think that that is the downfall of a lot of people that come here with those big right. dreams in their head of becoming the next, you know, yeah. big thing.
And this is what, this is,
and the, then they start and to sell themselves
this,
short.
This little conversation we're having
yeah.
is letting me see a lot about myself. No, I don't, the, not getting it and feeling that doesn't keep me up because I know I'm good. Mm-hmm. I'm going to keep it real. I know I'm good. Mm-hmm. You know, I've studied hard. I've gotten some amazing projects that I know who was on the short list. Okay. So, and I've gotten them. Mm. And I have done 7 different television shows, mm-hmm. You know, from Sequest, which is the first one, to the Hughleys, to All of Us, to everything in between, to all of the movies on the IMDb. So I know I'm good. Mm-hmm. So I don't leave the room if I don't get it, feeling like I'm not talented enough.
Okay.
There's so many other factors that go on as to why you don't get it. And especially now in this business, it's all about being at the top 3, having a lot of Instagram following. It's about so many other things now. So I'm just not that, I'm just never been that type of person. Mm-hmm. I think it's all about, if you know that you're good at something, if you know that you're a good person, you have to live your life with that in your heart and every single day. Mm-hmm. Like, I know I'm a good person. I know I'm talented. And it'll come when it's going to come. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't come, it has nothing to do with me not being talented enough. It's another reason. Mm-hmm. And I'm okay with that because I can't change the fact that that person's at CAA and I'm not, or that person was just working with that person so they just wanted to give them a job and that wasn't me. I can't change certain things. I can only go by what I can change.
Yeah. Do you think that...
Uh-oh.
No, because I'm kind of like in the same, at the same time, I'm putting myself in the same situation because I have, I was acting for a while. We actually acted with each other. What was that short
Girl,
film called?
You came and
was
you
it
did
called the Hand?
The Hand. You came and did the short film that I was a producer on called The Slap.
The Slap.
The Slap. The Slap. That thing was funny though. We almost won like a little short film series for that.
Oh, man, that would have been amazing.
Short film award for that.
Okay, so we got to try to find that for the audience to actually see.
Who knows what the hell that is.
If I can find
that
this.
That big hand came in. Okay, anyway.
If I can find this short film that we acted in together, I promise you guys, I'm going to find it for you. Because you have to see it to believe it. It is gold. It is amazing. So you were running down the list of your credits, your TV credits, the Hughleys, All of Us, you know, everybody knows you are. Everything from Rosewood, Logan. But I remember the first time I ever saw you. And that was on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And I literally just had to ask Elise just now how many episodes that was, like what the arc was. And she was like, just one.
Just that one.
And I said, you left such an indelible mark on the public's collective consciousness that we never forgot you. I'll never forget you. You strutting by in those black and white tight pants. And I was like, damn, I'm straight and questioning all at the same time right now.
God, I was so skinny. That was a good time. That was a good time. I was so skinny.
Oh, man.
Damn it, man.
I look back at pictures. There's pictures that come up of the two of us on Hollywood Boulevard somewhere.
Oh, my God.
And you got these knee-high, you know, boots on, and I'm behind you looking confused.
I think I remember.
But I'm tight as you can bounce a quarter off my body. Yes. I was like, oh, I miss those days.
Damn it.
I miss those days.
Hey, what's up, foodies? I have another deal for you and a new favorite thing. Now, we are all at home and probably climbing the walls a little bit, going crazy, but I have just the solution for you. It's called Skillshare. It's an online learning community that offers membership with meaning, okay? Now, there is a ton of classes that you can take where you can explore your skills and get lost in your creativity. Millions of people have already joined, and they've come together to take the steps in their creative journey. So I'm going to tell you about some of the classes that they have to offer. But first, I want you guys to log on to Skillshare.com so that you can see what I'm talking about, okay? There's so much to explore, and there's real projects to create. And the best part is that you have the support of fellow creatives who are on the same journey that you are, okay? Skillshare empowers you to accomplish real creativity. All right, now some of the classes that I thought were really interesting were knife skills, a mini class to chop like a chef. I think that is just super dope because I am terrible in the kitchen when it comes to chopping and julienning up vegetables and stuff. So that might be a class that I end up taking. There's also From Plant to Cup, brewing an amazing cup of coffee. I can't live without coffee, so this looks like a class that is right up my alley. There's also Key Investing Terms, how shares work. In this time of uncertainty, I'm sure a lot of people are trying to figure out ways to, you know, invest in the money that they might have in the bank to, you know, just kind of last a little bit longer. So that might be a class that you want to look into. And there's also Making Fresh Pasta the Real Italian Way. I'm not even going to attempt to do an Italian accent here because it's going to go horribly wrong. So what I want you guys to do is I want you to log on to Skillshare.com and use the code FOOD. That's FOOD, okay? Skillshare.com, using the code FOOD. That is going to unlock 2 months of a free premium membership. There is a million classes for you guys to, okay, maybe not a million, like thousands of classes for you guys to browse through and choose. And with 2 months free of a premium membership, I mean, you're probably going to be an expert at something, from dicing, chopping, making a cup of coffee, making pasta, or investing in the stock market. You can let me know how it works out for you. But log on to Skillshare.com using the code FOOD to unlock that deal, the 2 free months of a premium membership.
But Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, that was the first time I remember seeing you. And I think that was the first time that you were really introduced to the public, you know, in a big format.
I agree.
I just want to be a fan and say, what was that experience like? Because I've hung out with Will. I've done a video for Will. And he's like the nicest human being ever.
Sweet.
So what was that like being on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, knowing how enormous that TV show was and what a star Will Smith was? And what did you think to yourself just in terms of what it was about to do for you professionally?
What's crazy about that is I always go back and big up. I never forget to big up my friend Devon Shepherd. Mm-hmm. Devon Shepherd is one of the few African-American, straight up your homeboy type showrunners in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And he'd already done a couple of things and we were best friends. And, you know, he got me the audition. Mm-hmm. And so he shared this with me, like, you know, there was names that were being tossed because it was a big role with like the whole thing was such a big topic.
Yeah.
Sleeping with someone and everything and the fabulous Pam Grier and everything. Back and forth in the room, he shared this with me. Like, it was like tossed with names and it was like, why don't y'all just give it to her? She's the best, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'll never forget him. Shout out to Devon. That's mm-hmm. that's my boy. So that was one thing. But here's the thing about me. Mm. I go in and I'm like, okay, I'm going to get it or I'm not going to get it. Mm-hmm. Attitude. And then I get it and I show up on set and I know what this story is. Mm-hmm. And true facts, I had already done like a music video with mm-hmm. Will because, yeah. you know, I was a big music video yeah. girl.
Which one did you do?
And girl, I can't remember the song. You guys have to look it up. It's so old that I can't remember.
Welcome to Miami? No.
No. Way before that.
Oh, God.
It had to be like... it was something that was after Parents Don't Understand. Like, okay. It was literally that long ago in his career.
Okay.
So, you know, I wasn't, like, afraid to speak or talk to him. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I guess it was just, like, I'm so, like, okay, I'm here. What are we doing? Where are we going to go? Okay, I'm just like that. Like, yeah. I'm just excited to be there. I'm just mm-hmm. excited to do this iconic show. It mm-hmm. was just... You know, but I am on set very much like I got to get it right. So mm-hmm. I'm more so like, let's get the lines. Let's get it. Make sure everything's cool. Let me make sure he likes it. Make sure you want to improv? Great. Okay. Let's figure that out. Like, I'm more like that on mm-hmm. set.
Yeah.
So, but when it came out and it was such a big deal.
I mean, people are still probably sending you screenshots of you in the pants.
Or sending the video or, oh, you slept with Janice. Part of the whole thing. Like, I still get all of that on social media.
Yeah.
It was great, though. It was fun.
Yeah. I mean, you have been a part of, like I said, the soundtrack of people's lives, because the soundtrack isn't just music, it's TV and it's film. And you've been a part of some really incredible productions.
Cool.
You know, I want to get chronological order right. Rosewood came after that.
Yeah.
And that Rosewood was basically like your starring role yeah. in a major motion
Crazy.
Picture.
And I had to audition 5 times for that.
Was that directed by F. Gary Gray?
That was directed by the late John Singleton. God rest his soul.
Yes.
So how that happened is I auditioned and then I knew I was on the short list. Mm-hmm. And then I remember talking to John and he was like, okay, they just want you to keep coming in because, you know, you're just not the name that they're thinking that they're going to get. He's like, but I think you could get it at least.
You know, I want to ask you who was on the short list.
I don't remember. I don't.
Okay.
I did at the time, but right. I don't remember now. But
okay.
Yeah, I did at the time. But I think it was just like, I don't know. It's just, that was crazy. It was one of those jobs that I really wanted. Mm-hmm. And so every time I went in, I just tried to do the same thing, which I suggest anyone that's watching and you're an actor and you get called in a lot, just do the same thing. Mm-hmm. That kind of helps you clear your mind too. Don't try to mess with it. Don't try to fix it. Don't try to do something bigger or smaller. Do the exact same thing.
Mm. I know people probably get a little tripped up when it comes to the audition process.
Yeah.
I know I hate it.
Oh, let's be clear, I still hate to audition.
Okay.
I still hate the audition process.
Yeah.
But, you know, I do know that, like, if you've gone in a lot, just keep giving them the same crap. Mm-hmm. Just keep doing it over and over again. And I think to me, it's also like, to me, I look at it a mind trick. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the performance you're going to get with me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be consistent. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you the same thing every time. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to cast me.
Right.
It's going to be the same. It's going to be right on point. You're not going to be disappointed. Mm-hmm. So I think it's about just trying to give them the same thing every time. Mm-hmm. If they ask for something different, give it. But mm-hmm. like, if they don't, just be consistent.
Okay.
Yeah.
Switching gears
sure.
to Hustle and Flow.
Okay.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but was it based in Memphis, Tennessee?
We shot it in Memphis, Tennessee, and it's based on characters out of Memphis, Tennessee. Yes.
Okay. So
all fictional, but yeah.
So you had to go back to your original
that was on my, yes,
to your accent.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Was that easy for you?
Absolutely.
Okay, so you just revert back to the accent. What was set like? I mean, because did you know that it was going to become the phenomenon that it did, the cult classic that it became? And did you have any idea that the song would be nominated and then win an Oscar?
No!
I'm still shocked at this point, you know?
Okay, first of all, that was just amazing. Mm-hmm. The whole process was amazing. You know, shout out to Craig Brewer, who's now everybody's favorite director. Mm-hmm. Shout out to John Singleton for reading that script and realizing that there was some magic in this pimp that the world would really catch on. But to shoot something in my hometown was just amazing.
The hometown hero welcoming
must have
been amazing.
So much fun.
Yeah.
We just went there and I was like with Taraji and Terrence and everyone and just making sure that they had a good time. Took the bowling, just took them hanging out on Bill Street. Like, I really loved them being there. I loved that we shot there. I love having that memory of something that became such an incredible thing. The best feeling was, okay, we shot it and then we took it to Sundance. Mm-hmm. And to be at Sundance at this time, they really hadn't had anything that was like a cultural explosion with mostly a cast of color.
Yes.
And to sit there with an oversold house out in Utah, of people standing and all over the rafters to see our screening. Mm-hmm. First of all, it was crazy.
Yeah.
To see the scene where they start like jamming out and starting to get the beat and see the whole place like rocking.
Wow.
And everybody just like bugged out and laughing with us and enjoying this movie was incredible. Mm-hmm. Incredible. First time I realized the power of independent filmmaking. I think that's also why I love independent film so much, because that was a straight independent film, and we took that over.
Yeah.
It was the high, at the time, I don't know now, the highest amount sold for a movie that was out of Sundance. Mm-hmm. So many proposals and things happened after that for all of us. Like, it was crazy.
Yeah.
And Sundance, if you have not been and you're an actor, is lit.
Sundance is so lit. I will say something about, like, the altitude, though. Okay, I've been to, Denver and stuff like that. That was nothing. I climbed a flight of stairs in Park City, and I was like...
Yeah, you're about to die.
Fully in shape. And I was like dying. I feel like I'm going to pass out. You don't need to smoke.
Nope.
You don't need to drink. You don't need to do nothing.
The altitude
will get you high.
Just walk around.
Yeah, but it is sensational. It is beautiful. And I do also encourage you, if you are part of the acting community, I don't care what it is, find a way to get to Sundance. Because it's
for the parties. It's
magical.
For the fun. I'm not joking, but the parties are epic.
Yeah.
But also, it's just a community of new filmmakers, new talent, and there's so many screenings. There's so many ways to be connected. And I think what I've also learned about Sundance is it's a community of people that, because it's so fun, that even the execs are like, they want to talk to you. They want to get to know you. They want to know your project. Like, it's a lot of fun. And you can get a lot of information and great connects out of it.
There you have it, folks. Sundance is where it's at. Okay, so I want to backtrack on something that you were talking about earlier in terms of preparedness.
Okay.
You know, you made it a point that once you decided that you were going to give acting a go, you immersed yourself in learning the craft.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas fast forward to 2018, 19, 20, you got 6 million followers on Instagram and suddenly you're fielding, scripts and movie offers and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
From the standpoint of a trained actress who's been doing this for over 2 decades, what's your thought process on that? And do you regard it begrudgingly, just the people that seem to just be handed roles that actors are literally like standing in line and have literally like, put their blood, sweat, and tears in preparing for for work.
Yeah. What I think is sad is, here's the thing. I can't blame the people who they want to hire. Mm-hmm. I can't blame the people with their, you know, 4,000 million followers that they want to give a job to. Mm-hmm. I can't blame the system because now the system is lazy. Mm-hmm. I blame the system. You know, I can't blame the people who are getting the job. They don't know. They're just happy to have the opportunity. I can blame the system. I think the system needs to go back to finding people who are great actors, mm-hmm. finding people who just embody the characters mm-hmm. in the best way for the script mm-hmm. and putting them in the front. Mm-hmm. But you can't blame the people who are getting these jobs because they're not the reason why they're getting them. Mm-hmm. I blame the system.
It would be somebody else if it wasn't that person.
Absolutely. Right. It'd be someone else with a whole lot of followers because nobody wants to work anymore. Mm-hmm. The people behind the scenes don't want to work anymore. Mm-hmm. They want to immediately attach their project to someone that they don't have to do shit.
Right.
They want to be able to say, okay, that person has 5 million followers on Instagram. Instant audience.
I wish that they would understand something, though, that it doesn't, the following on Instagram doesn't necessarily translate into butts and seats. It doesn't, you know, because when it comes to Instagram, we have like, you know, either a snapshot or a 59-second view into this person's life.
True.
Or maybe they go on live every once in a while and do some kind of challenge or whatever the case is. But it doesn't necessarily translate. So I agree with you. I wish the system would figure out that 6 million followers does not equal even half of that.
True.
In, you know, true. Like as butts and seats. It doesn't.
I mean, and at the end of the day, you know, I think I still have faith in people who want to see it make sense. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, you wouldn't be able to have your brown sugar with Sanaa Lathan and this person, if there was an Instagram person and this Instagram person doing it.
Right.
You see that connection, you feel that connection between the two actors who've studied, mm-hmm. who've probably practiced together, who really broke down a script together, who really made a connection to give us a love story. Mm-hmm. I don't think you would get those performances mm-hmm. with other people. And I look at movies sometimes now and I'm like, I just miss the connection between the two because I'm looking at two people who don't understand the process
right.
to create those characters that are those ones that we love so much to go back to. Nia Long and Lorenz Tate and that connection that you see. Why? Because you have two amazing actors who really probably studied, and I know Theodore back then, mm-hmm. you know, that was the director, mm-hmm. And what he expects from his actors. So I think that that's what we're missing. So mm-hmm. if you go see movies now, and I know some people go, you know, it was all right. It's like, it's sad because I know why they're saying there it's all right. Because mm-hmm. there's nothing that's leaving you with that feeling anymore mm-hmm. because we're not getting people who really respond to the material in the right way.
Hey guys, I've got a new favorite thing for you and another deal. So, I'm doing a wellness check on you guys. Have you guys been taking care of yourself? Have you been eating right? Have you been getting some exercise? Have you been drinking a little bit too much? I kind of have. Okay, so here's where the new deal comes in. Okay, careof.com is this super dope company. They are focused on the quality and science and research that goes into each and every one of their products. And what they are is they're a wellness brand that makes it easy for you to maintain your health goals with a customized vitamin plan that helps you feel your best and supports all your vitamin needs long term. Care of can take making your vitamins and supporting your health goals very attainable, okay? So what you're gonna do is you're gonna log on to careof.com and they're going to put you through this quiz. The quiz is super easy, super fun, and super short. They're gonna ask you questions like, how much sleep are you getting? They're gonna ask you questions like, what kind of diet are you following? They're gonna ask you, how often do you work out? They're gonna ask you, are you concerned about hair, skin, and nails? Which every woman I know is, okay? The quiz is super fun, super easy, and it's gonna take you no time at all right? Now, what Care Of is, they're focused on the quality and science and research that goes into each of their products and their recommendations, okay? So what you end up with is personalized little packets of vitamins once your quiz is finished and you've gone through the whole process on careof.com, okay? The packets are cute and super convenient. You can slip them in your handbag. Nobody will even know that they're there, okay? So when you log on to careof.com, this is what you're going to save. You're going to save 50% off of your first Care Of order, okay? So all you got to do is go to takecareof.com, okay? And enter the code FOODIE50. That's FOODIE 50 to unlock 50% off of your first order, okay? Again, that website is takecareof.com, TakeCareOf, spell Melissa, .com for 50% off of your first order. And that code again to save 50% off is FOODIE50, FOODIE.
When I was in acting class, I had an amazing teacher. His name was Tony Greco. He was insane. He was frightening. On the first day of acting class, I took multiple classes of his, and it almost seemed like it was his mission to make somebody cry. And it was usually a guy. I loved that shit. It was so great. But we studied plays. Okay, that's the only material that we could work from was plays. So I have a stack, like several stacks of plays at home. Like everything from Streetcar Named Desire to 7 Year Itch. You name it, it's in there. Name something, a play, something that a piece of written work that you came across that if you had unlimited funds and actors at your disposal, you would produce right now. Or it could even be a movie that you would love to remake with a completely different spin on it. Like it had all white characters in the original and you would make it an all black or person of color story.
Great question. Because it's twofold. Okay, and I know that they're doing it. I'm not trying to be shady. I know they're doing it right now.
Okay.
First Wives Club.
Ah, I love that movie. Because I'm such a fan of Bette Midler.
Bette Midler killed it.
Yeah.
And again, I know they're doing it now, so I'm going to keep saying it. I'm not being shady.
Do you know who's in it?
I'm not even going to talk about it.
Okay.
I'm just saying I'm not being shady because I love that movie so much. And I loved what it represented for the women in it.
Yeah.
I love that it was this type of person and this type of person and this type of, and then they came together for the good of themselves, but also to stick it to somebody.
Yeah.
I like that.
And the good of other women.
And the good of other women. Yeah. So if I had it, I would reproduce that with my cast of those chicks.
Okay.
I would, because that's one of my favorites.
Okay, so wait, I'm going to ask you.
Okay.
Who would you cast in that movie if you could do it?
Well, first of all, there's Goldie Hawn plays Elise, which I always said, then I have to be Goldie Hawn.
Right.
Vivica Fox would have to be in it.
I would love to see Vivica as the Diane Keaton character, just as a completely different...
And she could kill it.
...direction, because she was... Diane Keaton's character in the movie was very, like... not exactly flighty, but she was easily
with a husband that was cheating.
She was always wringing her hands and just nervous. And Vivica's always so strong and direct, and that would just be the Bette Midler character.
And she
character.
Would love that. See, that's the thing too. You don't want to
playing against type.
They think you can only do one level. Mm-hmm. You can do so many different. So I'm sure she would love that. For the young person, I mean, I love Logan Browning. She already knows.
I love Logan.
We've talked about it actually. I'm going to answer your question with something else. But Logan Browning could be Sarah Jessica Parker. And I don't know for the next one. But those are in my mind, those who I think of.
Okay. All right.
But then also, you're saying unlimited funds.
Yes.
So that, and I'm writing myself right now.
Okay.
So I have a project that's a dance movie that I want to shoot in Memphis that I probably would put the rest of those funds to. Because I love dance movies. I love dance movies. I guess you call them dance dramas.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to shoot that in my hometown.
Okay, so let me reverse and go back to the first part of our conversation.
Okay.
Where I was talking about you being hashtag goals for a lot of women.
It's so funny because I don't even, I think they say it for certain reasons, but I mean, yeah.
Well, your body.
Yeah.
Listen, let me tell you something, okay? I just turned 43, and when they say that after 40, shit gets really, really hard.
It does.
You and I know, like, we've worked out together.
Yeah.
And we're going to do that in a couple of minutes. But you know how much of a beast I am in mentality and how much I was. It has gotten so much harder. I tip my hat to anybody who has never really had any kind of a fitness regimen and is starting their fitness journey now after a certain age with a lot of weight. I tip my hat to you because it is hard.
Yes.
You know, as we get older, our lives just naturally become a little bit more sedentary.
Yes.
And metabolism shifts and there's all kinds of hormonal changes,
yes,
especially with us women. And this is just a reality. So to maintain what you pretty much look like or what people think you look like during Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, only you know.
Oh my I'm mad at myself right now because, you know, we haven't talked about it yet, but I did a movie right before Christmas, mm-hmm, and, you know, I was a co-EP, mm-hmm, and the lead.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, right now I'm still not even where I want to be, but thank you.
Yeah, you're where 99% of women want to be.
I'm mad about it, but anyway.
So I do want to ask you about this because this is what people just naturally wonder. You know, they ask me about this. They ask me, Melissa, are you ever going to get married? Mm. Are you ever going to have children? Like, people ask me the most personal questions. Some of them have the best intentions. They're like, you would probably be a really great mom, you know? And I'm like, yeah, I probably would have been, you
right,
know? Like, you'd
right,
make, you'd make any man really happy. I'm like, oh, you better believe I would have, you know? But one, we don't have one foot inside the grave,
yes,
according to our ages. We are still very, like, lively and we are vibrant and whatever the thing is. But how have you managed that in terms of maybe falling short of your own expectations? Having a plan when you're 22 years old as to what your life is going to look like and where marriage and kids fits in it,
mm-hmm,
and then getting to where you are now where it's still hasn't arrived.
I that's the thing about me. I never really have a plan. I am very much a gypsy. I didn't have a plan.
I think that's a water sign thing.
But
I'm Scorpio, and I'm very much like a fly by the seat of my pants. I got wings on my ass.
But I did think it was going to happen around 40.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been engaged once. Almost got engaged again. But you know, it didn't happen, and that's, you know, you have to move on.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have loved to have been a mother by like 40.
Mm-hmm.
I would have loved to have my own child. That mm-hmm would have been great. Do I see maybe the child now? Me having a child, first of all, that's out.
Mm-hmm.
That's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
Just can't.
Mm-hmm.
But I still see that I could possibly get married.
Mm-hmm.
I do see that.
Yeah.
Am I going out there and hoping it's happening tomorrow? No.
Mm-hmm.
Do I hope that it happens and I figure that out? I would love to. But life is what it is. And I think it's one of those things that sometimes you have to just say, okay, well, God didn't want that to happen. At mm-hmm this point, if it hasn't happened,
yeah,
God's not looking for that to happen for me.
Mm-hmm.
If I found the right person and they were willing to get married, I would love that. I'm cool to be a stepmom.
Mm-hmm.
I'm cool to, in the right situation, mm-hmm, that we can co-parent and mm-hmm not have a whole lot of drama,
mm-hmm,
which I don't even know if that exists. But you're asking the question, and that's what I think.
Well, one thing I can say that I personally admire about you, and I think that I attract this in the women that I become friends with, is women who are not defined by, you know, a ring being on fourth finger,
no,
left hand.
No.
You know what I'm saying? We're not defined. Like, our worth is not, you know, wrapped up in what man has claimed us.
Exactly.
Because the reality of the situation is we do what we want.
Exactly. And I want to do that anyway.
Exactly.
And, you know, that goes back to what I said about loving yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, I've always loved myself. Mm-hmm. I've never needed a guy to love me for me to feel validated.
Good.
I've never needed to be in a relationship to feel validated or talented mm-hmm. or all of those things. Why? Because I went out and got all of that stuff on my own mm-hmm. without a relationship, without a sponsor sponsoring my production company mm-hmm. like a lot of people have, mm-hmm. a lot of those things. It's all me. Mm-hmm. So I'm confident in my skin too. You yeah. have, ladies, you gotta just love yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, love yourself enough to just try to find the right relationship and love yourself enough to find someone who loves you the way that you want to be loved. And if they're not doing that, oops, okay. Speaking of somebody must be hearing something. But yeah, love yourself enough to find the right thing. Mm-hmm. Like, it's okay that person can love you, but it may not be what you know that you want. It's okay.
Mm. Yeah. It's difficult, and we've seen it.
Oh, I've been through it.
No, we've seen it.
And we definitely have seen it.
Up close mm-hmm. and personal. Yes, we had mm-hmm. we had a good friend who we literally both told, run, girl.
Run for the hills,
run.
Child.
Run.
It's not going to work.
Don't do it, please. She did it.
She sure did.
Oh, God. And the outcome was she did it. Horrible.
Child, she was mad at me and the world and everybody else.
You
too.
Know what I'm saying? But here's the thing. All that did was to justify to me that this should never be what defines your existence. It shouldn't define anybody's existence.
But let's talk about that for a minute. Mm-hmm. Because as women, I believe this. I believe, and she's a beautiful, smart, intelligent person.
Amazing.
So I believe that it's not necessarily that they don't know mm-hmm. that this situation is not the best situation. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes women get caught up in
the optics,
the judgment of it all.
Yeah.
Oh, it's something I can finally check off.
Yeah.
And everybody will leave me alone.
I don't
about
have to be
it.
A part of the single girls club
and
anymore.
Everybody will leave me alone mm-hmm. now because now I have this beside me.
Meanwhile, he's a motherfucking lump of coal. I'm sorry. What good is he?
Meanwhile, he's not worth anything and really kind of bringing you down.
Yeah.
And really separating you from other things that you love. You know, so, yeah, that's not really, to me, the best thing to do for yourself.
Okay, so with no kids and no husband currently, what does legacy mean to you? And what steps are you taking to create one for yourself? I have a feeling that this performance arts.
Yes, I was just going to go there. Group. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So my masterclass series is very, very important to me. Mm-hmm. It's very important for me to help other people because let's go back. You know, I didn't have anyone in my family who'd ever been in entertainment, mm-hmm. like not one person. Mm-hmm. They all thought I was crazy. Mm-hmm. They all thought that this was something that would never happen for me in any way, shape or form. So going back and starting the Least Know Masterclass series is a way for me to look kids in the eye and be like, you can do it. Mm-hmm. You can have what you want in this life, whether everyone around you is telling you no, everyone around you doesn't see it, but do you see it? Mm-hmm. Do you see that you can do it? Do you believe in yourself enough to make it happen? And it is so fulfilling to be the person who looks them in the eye and tells them that they can do it and be a role model for them and show them ways and bring people in entertainment to help them understand how they can do it. It has been a dream. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love it. It is so much fun. It gives me so much joy. Mm-hmm. So again, that's why I want it to grow and it's going to be bigger and better. I even see me having my own school there. Mm-hmm. And also with a workshop facility on the side. I see my legacy being something that I'm helping people even more and more and more. And I really get fulfillment out of that. Mm-hmm. So as I get even older, that's where I'm leaning toward.
Okay. That's a good one. I'm still figuring out the whole legacy thing, what it means, because like you, not married, haven't had kids, and it's not looking like I'm going to have them.
You never know.
Yeah, but You never know. I'd be an awesome stepmom.
You would.
I would be an amazing stepmom.
Yeah, you know, you would. I think I would too. But yeah. Again, it's optics to that too, that you got to be willing to deal with. I'm going to keep it real. I don't know if you're willing to deal with that.
That's the other thing.
Yeah, I think I would be okay with that. I don't know if you'd be able to deal with that.
You? I have so many deal breakers. Listen, let me tell you something. Okay, when a pandemic hits the globe, and everybody's forced into quarantine, and your lifestyle barely changes. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but literally, I'm like, I barely noticed that we're in a quarantine. I barely noticed, you know, so it is what it is. We are going to go work out.
Woohoo!
Yeah, let's get a workout.
I'm excited about it. I don't know if she is.
I am scared because, you know, I've been slacking on my Mac and whatnot. But what I want to do is I want to create, or I want to give the audience an actual, like, visual of how you would, you know, quell some boredom at the same time of, you know, at the same time doing something for yourself and your health. Yes.
And you know what's the best thing about, and I mean, I'll probably say it again once we change, but one of the best things you can do for yourself, especially in this time, is work on your body. It's mm-hmm. the easiest thing that takes nothing but you to do it. Mm-hmm. And also, you're going to sleep even better because, you know, a lot of us are under stress. Mm-hmm. And also working out helps your immune system, which a lot of people need that. And you need to build that up with all of this that's going on in the world. So, you know, we don't know if it's airborne. We don't know anything. But what we do know is a strong immune system helps.
Yes.
So that's what we're getting ready to do.
Yes, and your immune system is super strong because you have never drank ever in life. Like, I don't know how you have managed.
Okay,
you've had a couple of glasses of champagne.
I do a little champagne on the birthday, you know, if I'm out in the club. I may, but that's it. Like, yeah. It's like what? Once a year?
Once a year. You make me feel like I wish I hadn't even started.
Oh, I didn't even tell that story. Yeah. How I didn't start, you guys, is like, okay. So we talked about the scholarship that I had, you mm-hmm. know, and I got this full scholarship. My parents, you know, did okay, but they didn't have a lot of money. Mm-hmm. So I get the full scholarship. I go up to PCPA. It's right next to Temple University. So if anybody knows about colleges, Temple is lit. Mm-hmm. So that's where we would party. Mm-hmm. So I saw girls that I would have my dance classes with, mm-hmm. like, go to Temple, party, turn up, and then try to go to a dance class in the morning. Mm-hmm. Throwing up and trying to do pirouettes and things and running to the bathroom. And I'm like, my parents ain't got no money. I can't lose this scholarship.
Right.
So I'm just going to go to Temple. I'm going to dance my ass off, which is what I used to do. And that's it. So then it became a pattern. Like, okay, I'm just going to dance my ass off. When I hit the club, I'm going to dance my ass off. I don't need a drink. Cool. Okay. Now I'm 30. Cool. I'm in the club. I'm dancing my ass off. I still don't have a drink. Okay. Now I'm 40. I'm dancing my ass off and I still don't have a drink. And that's exactly where we are today.
Okay. So if you all wondered why she doesn't look anywhere close to what her age says she is, that's the reason why, because she doesn't touch the sauce. She exercises regularly. She eats really well. She drinks a lot of water. And yeah, with that, I'm going to wrap this interview up. I can't thank you enough for sitting and talking to me.
This was fun.
This was so interesting, like, interviewing my friends, because I start to ask questions that I would never have asked my friends before, you know?
Like, yeah,
I
just, exactly.
Yeah, but I mean, you are a fascinating person, and I'm sure the audience is going to love this. And so I'm going to go change into my workout clothes so we can get a little...
Oh, and let's talk about how cute she looks. And she's like, yeah, girl, we're going to do a workout. And I'm like all in workout clothes. And she's like in Louboutins.
Well, they are... Okay. Those are about to come off and I'm about to put on my sneakers so we could get a workout in. But thank you all for joining us.
Thank you, Melissa, for having me.
Thank you so much. But thank you all for joining us for I'm Here for the Food, the a la carte series. Take care for now. Until next time.
If you like our show and the content we're featuring, please hit subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to us. iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, YouTube, and just like your Uber driver asks, leave us a 5-star rating. Also, please leave us a review about your favorite part of the show or your number one takeaway from the episode. We read all the reviews, and this will only help us curate the content that you want to see and hear. Thanks, guys.